Debris, experts in business, leadership, and lifestyle.
Skilling you softly to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
Hello, and boom, and yes, we are in, we're up and running, and welcome to UK Health Radio. You're with myself, yes. You're with me for the next 52 minutes. This is Paul Rees, and I am ploughing into your eardrums. We are going to have a fantastic uplifting and all that kind of stuff that comes with listening to my show on UK Health Radio. Yes, absolutely. It's great to be here and welcome. Thank you for being here again. I love you all. You're hugely important to me as well as my wife and three dogs. Yes, it's all happening. I didn't mention ducks, and that's because we had to adopt them out. Yes, sadly. Sometimes things go the way we don't expect it, but hey, that's not the end of our duck life, that's for sure. Do you know what? It's been an amazing week. When I say amazing week, do you know what? I'm going through such a transition in my business life, personal life, that right now I don't know whether I'm upside down, inside out, or back to front. And that's actually a positive rather than a negative. I went off last week, did a lot of backpacking, went off the week before, did a lot of backpacking. I went the week before that and did a lot of backpacking.
And going this week to do a lot of backpacking.
And I'm going this week with my sister to do a lot of backpacking again. And I've been on mail order looking for a new tent. You know, get a nice little four-season tent in with a four-season down sleeping bag.
Listeners, never marry a shopaholic.
I'm not a shopaholic. I'm just a... No, I'm not. A shopaholic is someone who has... I shop for purpose.
But you can always find a purpose.
No.
Yeah. You can always find a purpose and you can always find reasons to shop.
I sold my mountain bike yesterday to make this happen, you know. It's all going on, your listeners. And here's the thing is that we all go through transitions. And what I mean by that is, you know, we stay dedicated to our goals, let's say, or our aspirations, let's say, or even our dreams, if we want to put it in either of those categories. We all stay loyal to those. But let's not be afraid to shift slightly, you know. And what I mean by this is that I've been a business coach for perhaps 10, 15 years, maybe. Have I left the coaching industry? No, but I've transitioned slightly out of the coaching industry. Well, actually, hugely out of the coaching industry. Why? I just felt I wasn't satisfied anymore with it. It wasn't fulfilling me. It wasn't giving me purpose. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, I could have kept pushing and pushing and pushing and, you know, carrying on the treadmill of, you know, get your clients, I enjoy the delivery to my clients and I enjoy sharing those philosophies. But was it filling me? Was it giving me full purpose? Well, I'm going to say no. Does that mean I'd fallen out of love with it? No, I hadn't fallen out of love with it. I still love it. So why, you may ask, well, then why leave? Why put your energy into another market, another business, another opportunity? I don't know. I think we get caught up in tradition. We get caught up in historic expectations of this is what you do for a living. So that's your identity. That's your life profile. That's how you stay. And that has been a kind of recycled attitude, recycled expectations from as far back as, you know, I could say my great, 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 great grandparents. It's something that is just expected. My father is a builder. He works in construction. That's what he's done all his life. You know, why does Paul, myself, have to stay a business coach, even though, and I'm going to say this, I am very good at it. I am excellent at business coaching. I'm excellent at business designing. I am brilliant at designing legacy businesses. But does that mean I have to stay that way? I have to stay in that category of perfecting, perfecting and perfecting? For me, where is the growth then? Where is my experiences? Where are, no, let me say this again. I feel as human beings, we fear the expansion of change and the expansion of experience. We remain experienced within what we know, which effectively means we are just creating millimeter layers of experience. And effectively, by the time we finish our life, many of us leave this life still full and haven't emptied our opportunities, haven't fulfilled those opportunities. So my reason for deciding after almost maybe 20 years of saying, well, I've decided I'm no longer going to be a business coach. I'm going to reshape the whole business because I've decided that I deserve greater experiences. And trust me, this isn't easy. You know, there's lots of fear factors that I make believe in my mind. I'm dumping a profile. I'm divorcing a profile that took me 20 years to build. That's recognized throughout social media. I changed my banner, my title from business coach to out there live TV. Suddenly I've become a presenter rather than a legacy business designer. And it's completely turned my market inside out, upside down. But how great is that? And it's taken me a long time to settle in myself. You know, I've introduced myself as a business coach in networks all over the country, all over the world. Suddenly, I'm no longer doing that. And my market, no, the market that was now is confused. But I'm not confused. I have to just retrain my market to what is my fuller purpose. You know, you could say that effectively I'm creating my own trauma in my life because I am purposely disrupting my life, even if I can say that. But disruption creates, I feel, opportunities. You have to disrupt. That's what Silicon Valley is designed to just disrupt, create disruption so we can keep growing. And that's what I've done for myself. And think about that. Think about what it is you're doing, how long you've done it, and why do you continue? Is it because it's an ease of repetitiveness? Is it because that's what just you grew up with and that's what's expected? Don't categorize yourself. Don't pigeonhole yourself. And even though you may or are doing incredibly successful within the genre that you are working, building a business in or career in, that doesn't mean you can't step out of it and decide to do something else. That's kind of where I am right now. And it was a big decision and it is disrupting. Financially, it's massively disrupting. But also, if I don't do this, where will I be 20 years from now? Still present to myself, oh yeah, that's Paul the business coach. I have no wish to be that known person for 40 years of business. Absolutely not. So think about your life opportunities, but also think about your responsibility in creating disruption for those opportunities to even stand a chance of seeding into another shape for yourself as a human being. What do you think, Deb?
Oh, I have lots of thoughts about all of that.
Well, here she is, Deb, the life strategist. So wherever we go when Deb is here, it's going to be a wormhole of greatness.
Hopefully. So what I think there is you've hit on loads of brilliant things. Firstly, I think what we always forget is that the very gift that we've got is free will.
Yeah.
And you're right. Many people don't step out of the fear of doing something else that they want to do or love or whatever. Just for experience, it doesn't have to be that something's falling apart so you have to move.
No.
You know, what I always look at the bigger picture, because the bigger picture on anything gives comfort. And the bigger picture here for me is that, you know, what would be lovely and what we have the ability to do is just choose again.
Mm-hmm.
Choose again, choose again, choose again. And just because you've chosen something, so say like you are in a job and you decide to step out and change and that doesn't quite work, then just choose again.
Yeah.
We're not here forever. We're just passing through. You know, we never look at the bigger picture. Ultimately, you're not going to get out of here alive. So you may as well choose again and choose again and choose again. Like, why do we, like you say, stay in that repetitive life?
Yeah.
Because it's easier, because there's fear elsewhere. Step out of the fear. Fear isn't real anyway. It's just something that, you know, we feel that isn't real.
Let me jump in there, Deb, because here's what I want to do, listeners. I'm going to introduce you to what is my new shape of who I am right now. At Out There Life TV, we turn real life journeys into powerful, professionally produced documentaries. Whether you've led a quiet family life filled with wisdom, overcome adversity, exited the life of crime, built a business from scratch, or walked the road to recovery, your story deserves to be told. Your life story has an evergreen value. Through intimate interviews and cinematic storytelling, we honor your legacy with authenticity and heart. Because your life is a one-of-a-kind fingerprint with value that lasts forever. With our dedicated team, you will create your own 6-part documentary series that your loved ones will cherish for decades. Out There Life TV, your life, your story on film. Visit our website at outtherelifetv.com to start your journey today. Happy days, yes, and that's just a bit on myself and the changes that I am making. And do reach out, jump on the website. I am there for you, Deb. We were talking about disruption changes.
Yeah, a lot of people fear change. And I think that the way to not fear change is to actually always look at the bigger picture. I know I keep saying it, but it's the truth. Look at the bigger picture. You know, we all come in the world the same way. And we're all going to go out in some kind of box.
Why do you think, you know, this is, what you mentioned the word change there. And I'm like thinking, wow, change is free.
If you look at the universe and you look at the scientific aspect of it, it's constantly changing. Nothing in nature or the universe stays the same ever. And what we're trying to do when we don't change is to go against what is natural.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's a funny old game, isn't it, life, when you think about what the free opportunities we have. And I'm talking about financially free, talk about life free. So how free our lives are, but yet how we insist on removing that freedom. And then, because here's the thing, in the business world, the word freedom is voiced like it's a luxury. Yeah. It's voiced out, you know, I want to be a free entrepreneur. I want to be a free. I want to be. I'm working to be free. I'm working to be free. It's like it's a luxury item. But yet, freedom is effectively one of the most organic and real, I'm going to say, emotions in our life.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we're born free, but we're not. We should be born free, but we're not. And everybody's got everything inside out. You know, it's all round the wrong way. So if you step back and look at Earth and the practices and the societies and, you know, it's all the other way around. You know, we get movie stars and football players that are earning huge amounts of money. And then you've got the bin men, you know, and the people that...
The garbage collectors.
The garbage collectors. Yeah, bin men. It's very, very...
British.
British. You know, and they're getting pittance compared. You know, everything when you look at what we do is inside out. But having said that, the secret is to actually live inside out, not outside in. And outside in, it means that we're always influenced by our surroundings, when actually it's the inner world of ourselves that needs to be looked at first, because, you know, then we would realize that we are actually free.
Wow.
We are free because we're born free. We're supposed to be, born free. And yeah, we've just got it all inside out and around the wrong way.
Do you think that, well, I feel that our freedom is restricted by our value on the coin, on money, paper money. Well, though there's no paper money anymore, it's hardly. Just digital money, yeah. But I think our freedom has been dictated by our materialistic need, our money need, And I'm going to say above anything, as parents, 100% the parents, I'm going to stick my neck out and say this, are in the prison of feeling they need to do more for their children. Are in that emotional prison sentence of feeling they need to do more for their children.
Yeah, I think going down the generations, you know, there's been, you know, if you've got the boomers and the people before that, I don't even know what they were called, but, you know, you've got your boomers, you've got your Gen Xs, you've got, you know, millennials, whatever. You know, it's all boiled down to everybody else's lack in their childhoods have now created this kind of monster parenting, if you like.
I love that.
Where they, you know, accommodate absolutely every whim of their children.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not real life. And I worry about it. I worry about Gen Z and their children and, you know, how they're going to cope with life. But I also think that behind it, there's this PR machine that makes people feel like they're lacking if they don't have this and do that. And, you know, I mean, 1-year-old's birthday parties now are like, you know, off the charts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And things like that. And is that for the child? No, that's for the parents. And that's for the parents to say, you know, grab some worth from somewhere to say, oh, look what we've done and what we can do. And it's just all rubbish, and we need to just strip everything away and get back to who we are. We're so far away from it.
I love though you said that parenting has definitely molded into the parents being parented by the children in what they feel they need, but yet they're not old enough to make that decision for themselves.
Right.
I watch parents in the supermarket pushing, you know, babies. When I say babies, like 1 or 2 year olds yeah. in the trolley and asking them what they want to eat.
That's just wild, isn't it?
So they say, how old are should they? We buy you some this? Should we buy some that? And maybe the 3-4 year old even. Oh. And they are wanting that 4 year old to make the adult decision as to whether they feel they like something or not, or whether they feel they should have something or not.
I mean, that's incredibly abusive in a way, because that child is going to grow up with no trust, because it hasn't got trust in itself, because he hasn't, you know, seen that. You know, they've got to, such a responsibility on that child.
Yeah.
You know, and if a child is carrying the responsibility of the parent, then they're going to have no trust, and they're going to have no worth, and they've got no foundation. Where can they get some foundation within that, you know, constant choice? You know, they don't know what's up, they don't know what's down, and the parents, you know, have got no say in anything. And then when they become teenagers, these kids, and they just want everything, the parents look around and go, geez, what did we do?
Well, you pushed them around in a trolley when they were 4 year old and asked them what they wanted for dinner.
Yeah.
And asked them to pick off the shelf.
Yeah.
And if not, they were sitting with an iPad or a tablet in front of them, you know, playing games all day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty ruthless era of time right now, I feel, for the emotional experience that young children are not getting. And you take Australia, they have now banned social media until you're at a particular age in life. Mm-hmm. And that is now that will start blanketing all over the world.
Well, hopefully.
Well, when you get, you know, a 14-year-old, 12-year-old, you know, generating many millions of pounds because of a TikTok following or a YouTube following, I am not knocking the opportunities in life. What I am suggesting is that there's a time where you have to experience junior experiences, you know, early teens experiences. If you suddenly at the age of 12 become an entrepreneur, at the age of 35, 40, you're going to be in rehab.
And you're going to be burnt out.
And yeah, and you lose the reality.
Well, what it does is
of freedom.
It detracts from who the actual kid is, and it gets it's a big spotlight on what the kid does.
Yeah.
Rather than who they are. And there's a lot of that. It doesn't have to be that extreme, but there's a lot of that.
You see, when you become reliant on, you know, your digital market as a young child to get your worth, whether it's I got 600 likes today, 1,000 likes today, and I've generated this many tens of thousands of pounds from my channel today, they've lost the reality of what is human to human basic emotional likeness.
And connection.
And connection, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is something that I feel that addiction is going to unfold itself probably 20 years from now. We're going to see a backlash, just like Australia has seen a backlash on what was forced adoption 20 years ago. They are now having to deal with forced...
I think it was more than 20 years.
Maybe, yes, absolutely. But that forced adoption. And we could say right now it's forced entrepreneurship. Digital, the social media platforms are forcing, because they're making it so easy and there's no restrictions. You could be the age of 8-year-old and you could have a successful channel on TikTok or which then is a warped sense of life success.
Absolutely. But I think that is an outward expression of the warped sense of life success that all the adults around are carrying. You know, that society is carrying.
Yeah.
You know, we have gone so far away from who we are. It's like when emojis first came out, I just saw them as emojis. Now I see them differently. And that's just happened over time. And I thought that the other day. I thought, wow.
Yeah.
I'm seeing, when somebody gives me an emoji now, I feel the emotion behind it. I just don't see a little smiley face or whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy. Listen, we're going to jump into commercial, listeners. When we come back, we're going to dive into some more deep dive stuff. Happy days.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days and welcome back to UK Health Radio. You're with myself, Paul Rees, and my wife, Deb Sinead. Yes, we've been banging into all kinds of stuff. If you just joined us, do go back to the beginning because you've missed so much. Absolutely. And we've been talking about monster parenting and social media for the kiddie entrepreneurs. And of course, emojis is what we were touching on before the
radio. Yeah, because I just also wanted to say with emojis that I think my journey with them was, didn't really get them, then I could feel them, but now I don't think anything of them. Like when you get an emoji and somebody's crying, laughing, you know they're not crying, laughing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know that they've just gone, oh, I have to put that, or I should put that, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know? It's like it's... They've become a nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have much emotion behind emoji when I put it in there. I have a thought of, oh, yeah, that's kind of funny. Boom. And I put a funny one in. But I don't put a funny one in if I don't feel it's funny.
Right.
But a thumbs up kind of covers everything.
I know. You are a thumbs up kind of guy.
Yeah, that just...
And you do the arm.
Oh,
you do,
yeah.
You do the muscly arm.
If I'm proud of someone, they'd get the muscle arm emoji. But if it's a thumbs up, that just covers it. Yeah, it's okay. No worries. It's a kind of easy thing, thumbs up.
Yeah, that can be a well done. That can be an everything, can't it?
Well, it is. It's like, yeah, no worries. That's the thumbs up for me.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I was talking to a client yesterday and we were talking about how so many people are disengaged from actually reading now. And it has to be a video. Mm. And even those videos, you know, I watch YouTube and you see a lot of people are, you know, there's a lot of good stuff on YouTube. I love it. It's a lot of tutorials. You learn a lot from YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's quite educational.
Yeah, can be, yeah.
Is what I feel. But when I think about the concentration, even I find when I'm really into a 20-minute video, there's a part of me also that's like, oh, can I keep doing this?
Yeah, let's get off to the background. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, when we first had Facebook and everything, it was all text, 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 text.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not. It's all videos and pictures.
Or audio, a voice message.
Right. You can't do a voice message on Facebook, can you?
Messenger, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm just talking about when you go through the social
media. Oh, yeah, I get you.
You know, there's very little text. I mean, unless it's something that I'm really, really interested in, like at the moment, because of the 80-year thing, I'm very interested in the war and everything, you know, the Second World War. So if there's something like that comes up, then I'll read it because I'm interested, really deeply interested in mm-hmm. it. But other than that, I'm not going to sit and read people's stuff.
No.
Because what it's done is it's got us out of the habit of reading that. I mean, I'm a reader. I read every night before I go to sleep. But I like books. But, you know, so text is going to also be a thing of the past, I think.
I think we are...
On the social media.
We are losing patience.
Yes, massively.
And patience is a positive thing. Because when you admire your patience, then what happens is you also allow room for wisdom.
Yeah.
Or room to think.
Yeah, I was always brought up with patience is a virtue.
Mm-hmm. Although I never understood that myself.
Well, it's a good thing to have.
Is it really? Yeah. Well, I have also danced with patience myself these last couple of years. And does it even exist in my being? And that's what one reason why, I went hiking, because you have to be patient. You have to be patient in that sport. Because it takes such a long time to get from A to B, from 1 mile to another with a train. And that's why I really enjoy that. It's brought that ability to hear myself back into my life. And think about that, listeners. Think about, you know, do you hear yourself, or do you just hear what the screen, what your phone, what your tablet wants you to hear?
I think, and myself included, you know, I think that we could all do with going inward. None of us, you know, sorry, that's not a fair statement. The majority of the human race now does not go inward. It's all outward. It's all outward. And I think that the reason why it's easier for us to go outward is because when we go inward, sometimes we can bring up all sorts of uncomfortable feelings that have been lying there. So what we do is we get distracted by the outer world, and that suits us. It ultimately doesn't give us a lot of growth.
Which means we're becoming more and more synthetic.
Yeah. I mean, I worry, because if I look to the future too much, you know, of the planet, I just see everybody in their houses, working from home, getting deliveries and staying indoors. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it feels like that, you know. And I think that's a scary thing. I mean, you don't have to go out your house for nothing these days. You know, work for the majority of people is outside, and thank God for that, I guess.
Absolutely. And what I'm going to do, your listeners, I'm going to just quickly jump into a little bit of what... No, let me backpedal there, because I rushed that intro into that bridge opportunity. So I'm going to just throw in here a little bit about myself. Have a listen there, and I'm going to catch you in 60 seconds. At Out There Life TV, we turn real life journeys into powerful, professionally produced documentaries. Whether you've led a quiet family life filled with wisdom, overcome adversity, exited the life of crime, built a business from scratch, or walked the road to recovery, your story deserves to be told. Your life story has an evergreen value. Through intimate interviews and cinematic storytelling, we honor your legacy with authenticity and heart. Because your life is a one-of-a-kind fingerprint with value that lasts forever. With our dedicated team, you will create your own 6-part documentary series that your loved ones will cherish for decades. Out There Life TV, your life, your story on film. Visit our website at outtherelifetv.com to start your journey today. Happy days, and welcome back, and thank you for listening to my very own commercial. Happy.
Can we just go into this voice that comes out? I love it, but I wonder where it comes from. Singing, the loudness.
Well, this is the only time in the week I can get to actually be myself in my business.
Right.
I'm always myself, but you know, here, yeah. when I'm sharing with you listeners, I can just be whatever I want to be. And there's no judgment. Do you know what I mean? That's what I love about the radio show. I can just do what I want to do and be what I want to be and say what I want to say, and there's no backlash.
Yeah.
Well, Johan may get an odd email or so, which says, well, I don't like what he's saying, but Johan's got my back, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And a big congratulations to Johan with his book release this week. I mean, man, that man is a absolute wise angel, for sure.
Well, that's brilliant. Somebody who lives inside out.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing. I want to talk about something. I'm going to throw a big spanner in the works here. I want to talk about arrested development, but arrested development in the business world. So I want to just kind of put this out there. LinkedIn. I've used this word many times. LinkedIn is one of the biggest business claimed platforms in the world. That is kind of shaping more like Facebook right now with the craziness of videos. But I'm going to say also there that I have this theory that unless you've done a lot of work on yourself, inner work on yourself, 99% of business owners are taking their anywhere between their 8 to their 12-year-old self into business every day. Their money alignment, their business practices, their sales practices, everything is still based on that 12-year-old self, that 8-year-old self, and so on. And then, and again, this is not my saying. This is a saying that Lee Tennyware always shares, which is your trauma, your drama, and your armor are your three main ingredients for diluting and ruining your business. And when I think about what I see on LinkedIn, those three ingredients are rife through almost every business person that I see. Now, they may not agree, but not agreeing in itself means they're not prepared to look.
Right. If you disagree off the bat, then you haven't, you know, educated yourself on it enough to have an opinion.
Very true.
But I think that everybody, not just business people, are coming from that place.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they've done a lot of work on themselves, and unless they've let go of a lot from their childhood and recreated themselves, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to recreate ourselves, and not many people even know that that's what we're here to do. We're not here our dog is got his little squeaky toy and he's
howling
in the background, like a little wolf out there. So it's put me on.
When we think about recreate ourselves, let me come in on that. Now, going right back to the very beginning of my intro to the show, listeners, I shared with you how I have just completely changed shape of my direction in business life, which is a recreation, would you say?
Yes, parts of you, yeah.
So when we say about recreate ourselves, you know, we think about how many times a human being will do that in one lifetime. Through your early years, you're always recreating because you're growing so fast from the age of 1 to 16, from the age of 1 to 25 even, maybe, in life years. But then we slow down those recreations because we become sort of stuck fast into, this is what I'm good at, this is what I do.
Yeah, if you're talking about just work here now, then yes. But also, you know, it's all depending what those first years were like, about where you'll go, your worth, what you think you're capable of. A lot of people stay where they are because they don't think that they're worthy enough for anything else. And they don't even know that. Most of the time, they don't even look for that. Mm-hmm. They just stay where they are. It's very unconscious living, which most of us do.
Do you think that that perfecting what you are is a recreation of what you are? Do you think that if we are perfecting something, we're recreating, or if we're perfecting, we're actually working from low worth?
That depends on the individual, right? If you've been brought up to have to achieve in order to get, you know, love or acceptance or whatever, then you're going to recreate and try and perfect everything that you're doing from that space. But you can do it from a space of, this is my worth, this is what I deserve. I deserve to keep, you know, growing in that area. So it's all depending on the person themselves and where they're coming from.
I guess what I'm looking for is, what does recreate look like? I mean, again, listeners, going back to the beginning of the show, I've completely reshaped what I do for a living, for a business. So
I guess what we're saying there is, you've recreated your work life, the work life part of you.
Well, I have shifted in how I think. So I've shifted in what I need to think about each day. I've shifted in where my ideas need to be put each day, and how I grow those ideas.
Well, that's wonderful. That's just not recreating the outside business. You're recreating yourself internally as well. So that's a really good thing.
Well, internally was really my priority. because externally, I mean, there was nothing there. I could keep internally is what I wanted to keep recreating. So when we think about recreating, you know, what do you feel prevents us from recreating ourselves? Because again, listeners, recreating is such a healthy way to live because you're not restarting. You're taking all your past experience and then you are purposefully shaping it into a better or a greater opportunity.
Again, are we talking about just work and business or are we talking about life?
Well, I think life, because you have to recreate your life in order to recreate your business.
I think you have to recreate who you feel you are to recreate your business. I think you're exactly right. See, we're conditioned, as me and you always talk about, you know, for the first 7 to 10 years of our life, we're conditioned in, which means that our model of the world, the way we think, how we look at ourselves, how we look at other people, our judgments, you know, everything is fixed in our subconscious. But the mission that we're on is actually to change them and recreate them of the ones that don't serve you. So I think that when we recreate from the inside, we start to choose who we want to be rather being a slave to who we think we are. Mm-hmm. So it's all about choice. So you recreate it. Who do I want to be? Who do I want to, how, sorry, do I want to show up in the world? Who am I really? What do I now choose for me to be? Do I want to be judgmental, jealous, unloving, or do I want to, deep down inside of me, want to be? Because it's all about, it's like Shakespeare said, to be or not to be, that is the question.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say that on a big scale, but you can also say it on a little scale of, you know, who do I want to be? And, you know, people always ask you when you're a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? What they should be asking is, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Because is do and be different?
Or? Very much, very much. You know, you can do something all day long, but how you're being within that, it can be completely different. So millions of people go to work every day and they're doing the job and hating it inside.
Okay.
So you're being something while you're, we're always being something mm-hmm. while we're doing something.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that needs to be married in a business. You need to harmonize what you're being and what you're doing at the same level in order for that success to come in.
But what if what you're being, you haven't done the work on that and you're being your past? You would still be in your juvenile self.
Then you can do till the cows come home and you'll only change marginally your business.
There it is. That's what I was looking for. Unless you've done that work, your business will stay as it is.
And your whole life will.
And on that note, we're going to take you into our last commercial, listeners, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Happy days.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days and welcome back to UK Health Radio with myself, Paul Rees, and the amazing life strategist, Deb Sinead Rees, or better known as Paul's wife.
That was a little bit too misogynistic for me, baby. Like, okay, we'll go there.
Well, we were talking about, what was it? Recreating.
Yeah, but I'm not recreating myself to be your wife.
But you are my wife.
I am. That's right. But that's not an inner journey of mine. That's just something that I am at the moment.
At the moment. Let's get on that.
Actually, I was just thinking about different lives.
I mean, I woke up
early. Freudian slip.
I mean, I had one of those nights where I woke up early. I was the morning listeners and I was like completely out of sorts. And I was like, is Deb being unfaithful to me? And I'm there scrolling through a phone and stuff like this. We've been how long together?
20 years.
20 years. There's not an ounce of deceit in our life. But why was I scrolling through your phone 4 o'clock this morning trying to find something?
Because when I got up and my phone was already on and I could see where you'd been in my phone, I was like, oh, I love him. You know, he's never going to find anything.
I mean, what is that about? Because, you know, we are watertight and always have been. But why do, you know, human beings in marriages get those, I don't know, those sometimes those unconscious thoughts of, is she being unfaithful to me, or is he being unfaithful to me?
Well, it's about you. I mean, and that's what we said. That's what you said this morning, which was brilliant. Because when you came back from the dog walk, I said to you, you know, you said, you're right. I said, yeah. I said, you just trust in me. And you said, nothing to do with you. It's all about me.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of it. You know, it's, you know, and I also think that lately, and forgive me if I'm wrong, I've been a little bit of a better wife. I've been massaging your feet and letting you go where you want to be. And, you know, I've just been doing stuff.
Let me just go back where you said, I've been a little bit of a better wife. Which tells me, you know, you've been a pants wife then.
I haven't been a pants wife at all.
Because I've been a little bit of a better wife. That's just brilliant. It's made my day, listeners. Do you know what I mean?
No, no, no. I'm always a brilliant wife.
But not a little bit better.
But I've been more of a brilliant wife. I should have said that. I've been more of a brilliant wife. So I think that somewhere there's either a little unconscious or subconscious, sorry, trigger in you that's like, I don't deserve it. Or there is a, why is she being so nice?
There.
Ah, there you are.
There. Why is she being so nice? But again, that's my doing or your doing, because you're always nice.
Right. But I did tell you a couple of weeks ago that I made a conscious decision, because mm-hmm. I want to, you know, be in charge of what I'm being. So a conscious decision in being more loving to you, more, you know, accepting of you and on all of those things. And, you know, for me, I didn't tell you, but, you know, seeing the divine in you, because if I see the divine in you, it makes it easier to see the divine in me.
Oh, wow. I love that.
So I made a decision to do that. That's why you've had foot massages. But you always have, like, you know, your dinner ready when you come mm-hmm. home. And I clean the house so it's all lovely when you go back from camping. All that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah,
it is. It's beautiful.
So I think that you, because I amped it up just a tiny bit, you got all weird about it.
I mean, when we think about consciousness, and I, you know, you said being more conscious in life.
It is the best way.
But didn't you not think you're already conscious? I mean, you work with people every day and you talk about consciousness. You talk about them thinking consciously for themselves. So you understand the layering of it. Why is it then you feel you have to become more aware of yourself, of your own consciousness then?
Because it's an everlasting growth, Paul. You know, you can never get too much consciousness, you know, rather than using your subconscious to run your life, which is what we all do, the more that we consciously change that. And I'm not saying it's easy, it's really difficult. It's really difficult to stay in that constant monitoring of yourself to say, no, I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to be this. I'm going to, you know, you have to parent. We talk about parenting. You have to parent yourself in a moment to moment basis for quite a long time before it becomes second nature. So you could just say to yourself one morning, right, I'm choosing to be more loving to my husband and to see him, the divine in him.
Yeah.
But I have to keep telling myself, because you just slip back into subconsciousness, you know, and most of us are subconsciously going around in the world. And the trick is to keep reminding ourselves to be conscious. And that's where the recreation comes in, and that's where your life will change.
Yeah. I mean, consciousness, when we think about that on its basic level, it's just recognizing one that you breathe every day. And I don't just mean, I mean feeling that you breathe every day.
Yeah.
That is the most basic, but yet the most pure conscious thinking, because how many of you listeners just do not recognize the fact that your lungs are breathing in and out every day?
Oh, my God. Like, you know, what, 1% of the day you kind of know it? And that's if you take a deep sigh.
1% of the week, maybe, or year for some people, you know?
Yeah. And I think this is why you are on your journey with your, you know, wild camping and all of that, because I feel like what it's given you is making you more conscious.
It certainly is.
Rather than the unconscious.
Yeah. Oh, I am most definitely hearing myself.
Yep.
And I'm talking emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing my thoughts more. I hear my layering of consciousness more. Mm-hmm. I am more open to my wisdom now than I've been for perhaps a 12-month, 2 years, because I've been just hacking away at this screen in front of me, listeners, doing my Zoom calls, getting the clients, you know, and effectively I stopped enjoying it. Mm. I remember on a network event about 10 months ago saying, do you know what? I am bored with business coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm bored with business. And that it is a drag of falseness. And because I am just seeing one big false illusion that goes on in the business world right now.
And that's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because all that false illusion, you know, is coming from a place of lack in the person.
Yeah. Entrepreneurs are not the shape of entrepreneurs that were 20 years ago.
No.
Entrepreneurs are very different now. There is a consciousness there, but also most entrepreneurs are in desperation.
Yeah, and that's so sad. But I think that, you know, it's just as hard now being an entrepreneur, if not more, than 20, 30 years ago, you know, because 30 years ago, we didn't have the internet and everything, and you had to get out there and get your people. But now, you know, you've gone from that to being flooded with a million people that are just like you.
Yeah.
You know, and how do you stand out from that? It's tough stuff.
You know, listen, LinkedIn is a blanket of anxiety.
Oh, bless.
And I'm going to say that again. LinkedIn is a blanket of anxiety.
So sad.
Oh, it really is. And many people will disagree with me, but if you really looked at your emotional self and measured your emotional self, you will see that you're just part of that blanket as a business on LinkedIn.
So what do you do with that? You end up, you know, falsifying and covering up the despair that's underneath. It's not a life.
Covering up the despair that's underneath. That's exactly what LinkedIn is. Covering up the despair that's underneath. That's really what most social media platforms are.
And what people are trying to do is do their passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the passion gets lost in all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and then this childhood unconscious or subconscious stuff comes up. And then you end up either in burnout, not well, or saying stuff it and forget it, or, you know, any number of things.
Or you go wild camping. Listeners, there it is. It's been an amazing show. Thank you for deep diving with us. Deb, thank you so much, love, for your mind, your heart, and all the stuff that comes with that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Until this time next week, listeners, I'm going to say boom! Bye for now. Emotions are your friend.